Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Greetings, one and all. Just a few words about the Good Friday service. I hope you're able to do some kind of observance at home, and given the fact that our bulletin is a tenebrae service, if you're able to do it in the evening, so much the better. If you're able to do it with a number of lights, like seven candles or seven sources of light, so that you can diminish the lights with each of the seven last statements of Jesus from the cross being read until you're in relative darkness, as you'll see in the bulletin, a chance to punctuate that moment when Jesus expired and breathed his last with a slamming shut of books, all things that I hope you're able to do. For this meditation, which I want to be brief because this whole service is about your chance to meditate on the seven last words, I do want to read the Isaiah passage. I call it Isaiah 53. It actually begins at the end of the 52nd chapter. I want to share that lesson, and then I will move into the meditation. A reading from Isaiah, the 52nd and 53rd chapter. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they have heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no former majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul shall he see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Seven final words have been preserved for us in the four gospel accounts. Seven of the last statements our Lord Jesus made from the cross, his final words spoken before being buried in the grave. A person's last words can have great significance. You perhaps heard that Luther's dying words were, "We are beggars, this is true." How appropriate. But tonight it's our business to reflect on the seven last words spoken from the cross. I want to do this publicly first, and then you will have an opportunity to reflect on each of these seven words and meditate on your own or in your families. The first word Jesus spoke from Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was arrested as a criminal, and he was tried illegally, convicted under false testimony, beaten, scourged, and given a tortuous execution. And what is the prayer on his lips? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Indeed, Paul will write to the church in Rome, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And we read in John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The first word. The second word from the cross, from Luke's Gospel, again the 23rd chapter, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." What a difference between the two criminals. Both were guilty, but only one admitted it. And the one who admitted it turns to Jesus and essentially pleads for mercy. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The Apostle John will write in his letter, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And the Apostle Paul will write in Romans 10, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The second word from the cross. The third word is recorded in John chapter 19. Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son." And, "Behold your mother." Relationships matter. Jesus honors his mother and entrusts her to the care of one of his disciples. Our silver and gold we cannot take with us on that final journey, but children of God will be reunited in the kingdom. We remember in the Torah, in Exodus, in the giving of the commandments, the fourth commandment, "Honor your father and your mother." And with a greater and deeper understanding of family, we read in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus saying in the 12th chapter, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Relationships matter, the third word from the cross. The fourth word from the cross, taken from Matthew chapter 27, Jesus cries out the cry of dereliction, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is called the cry of dereliction. Jesus' deepest anguish was not the physical suffering, although that was considerable. It was bearing our sin, and in some sense, experiencing the alienating quality of sin. Paul will write to the church in Corinth. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We see that Psalm 22 was on the lips of our Lord. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? That psalm will end up in praise. We know Jesus had the prayer and the use of the Psalter at his command on the cross. The fourth word from the cross. The fifth word from the cross, taken from John 19, the simple statement Jesus said, "I thirst." The Son of God truly assumed our humanity in the birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary. He became like us in every way except for our sin. And like us, he is able to identify with our weakness and to represent us. Therefore, he grew tired, hungry, and thirsty. I like the way it's stated in Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The fifth word. The sixth word from the cross, again from John 19. It is finished. The strange and unexpected work is on track. The battle has been engaged. The mission is accomplished. Victory is certain. This is the moment for which Jesus had come into the world to die an atoning death on the cross, so that by his blood we might have our sins cleansed and forgiven. Jesus had said in John 12, chapter 12, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And this is a victory. This is a note of accomplishment. Just as Paul would write at the conclusion of his first correspondence to the church in Corinth, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The sixth word from the cross. And now we come to the seventh and final word from the cross. This from Luke chapter 23. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." The ultimate in what it means to have faith is to let go and to let God. Who or what do we commend ourselves to, our bodies and souls? Jesus has promised his disciples in John 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." The seventh and final word from the cross. Friends in Christ, the remainder of the service that I hope you're able to observe is your chance to meditate on the seven last words of the cross. And in doing so, I hope we ever looked to Jesus crucified. For when we look to the cross, we look at the life giving cross of our Lord and Savior, who was hung for us and for our salvation, and rose again that we might have our greatest hope. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen.